Let's stand and we will turn to Matthew chapter 22 and we'll read from 35 through 40. And then we will turn to Galatians and I will read verses 1 through 10. But do not be concerned, I will read fast. I was trying to charge my iPad all day today and it is not charging very well. So I will have to go fast or I will have to go by memory. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And now turning to Galatians chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Brother Phil Barrett, will you pray God's blessing on us this morning, please? Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The great commandment in the law, the first and great commandment is, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. The second commandment is like the first, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These two commandments hold all aspects of our walk with God. And our journey through this spiritual health checkup, I'm calling it a journey now because it's been forever, is not a critique of our shortcomings, but it's a positive guide to help us identify areas in our lives and our hearts where we can grow in our love for God and for others. The goal is not to condemn, but to enable us to walk more closely with God and to allow Him to mature us in our relationship with Him. So we've been discussing spiritual stamina, starting by exploring what it is and how it is necessary for our spiritual journey. And we saw some transformations that must occur within ourselves to love and obey God genuinely. We then looked at Paul's example of the Christian journey as a marathon or a long-distance race, and we saw the need for preparation, discipline, focus, and especially the importance of the Holy Spirit's empowerment in continuing our race with vitality and resilience. So in the last message, we looked at Daniel and David's examples of spiritual stamina, highlighting their trust in God, waiting for his perfect time. And then we culminated with the ultimate example of the Lord Jesus Christ who endured the cross. Today, we will explore a fundamental aspect of spiritual stamina that is both a resource and a responsibility, and that is the community or the body of Christ. It's interesting that I'm talking about this at this point after just speaking this morning about the importance of not becoming a social club. But as believers, we are not meant to walk the path of faith alone. We are integral parts of a larger community, this body of Christ. Oftentimes we talk about this building as the church, but this building is not the church. We are the church. This is just a building. The church are the congregation, the men and women and the children of God. So this community is not just a social group, but it is a source of support, encouragement, and accountability, which is crucial to cultivating our spiritual stamina. It plays a vital role in helping us persevere through the challenges and the trials that we will face in our spiritual journey. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, provides a clear picture of what this community should look like. In Galatians 6:2, he writes, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And this command is at the heart of our communal life and what being part of the body of Christ means. It calls us not only to receive support, but to actively provide it, supporting and caring for one another, just as Christ loved and cared for us. When we bear one another's burdens, we share the weight of our struggles and our challenges. And this act of love and compassion lightens the load for our fellow believers, and it strengthens our faith and our resilience. And as we pour ourselves into service to others, our spiritual reserves are replenished and our stamina is renewed. As we saw in Galatians, Paul is making a few things clear. First, we are to treat each other with gentleness, and when someone stumbles, we are to restore them, but to do so in a spirit of meekness or gentleness. And we need to recognize that we also will be tempted and sometimes stumble. And so we should take these opportunities as we gently restore the fallen to examine ourselves and our failures to protect us from falling ourselves. I was once watching two people walk along the sidewalk, and one tripped and fell and went splat, and it was hilarious, and I was laughing from the side. I'm going to pretend I wasn't laughing, but I was observing from the sideline, and her friend turns around and is laughing hilariously at this young girl sprawled out on the sidewalk, and she was laughing so hard she forgot to look where she was going and took a tumble as well. And I felt like that was God just letting me know that he loves me and he sees me and is providing me a little bit of joy in my life. But we have to be careful when someone else falls that we do not fall ourselves, especially when they fall and it irritates or offends us. That's when it becomes very critical that we consider ourselves in restoring them. So Paul's conversation at the beginning of the last chapter to the churches of Galatia reflects the proverb in Proverbs 16:18, which says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Because we are to restore each other gently and bear one another's burdens. And Paul is clear here that bearing one another's burdens is the fulfillment of Christ's law. So he says, if someone thinks they are something and they are not, they deceive themselves. So consider or evaluate your actions and deeds. Assess your conduct and achievements for a fair analysis of yourself rather than comparing yourself to others. Some of this is acknowledging the advantages you've had, and some of it is acknowledging the difficulties you've faced and owning up to your own failings. And in doing so, you will find that, and part of this ties back to the statement of the Lord's that, you know, first take the plank out of your eye before you worry about the speck in somebody else's. It's look at yourself, and then you will find validation in you and not in somebody else's failures. How many of you have felt better about yourself when somebody else did something that exposed them to be the dirty, rotten scoundrel you've always known them to be? So easily, we take somebody else's momentary failure as a sign that we are superior. And yet, when we fall, it's perfectly understandable and not to be held against us. So Paul, writing here, ties in with the Lord's commandments that we are to regard ourselves first. And as the Lord said through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So let's follow Paul's instruction and look at ourselves to see that our actions and thoughts demonstrate a mature understanding and knowledge of God, and treat others with the love and compassion that he requires. And why are we to do this? Paul says, because for every man shall bear his own burden. And Paul distinguishes, you might have picked up on this, bear you one another's burdens, and then he says, for each man bears his own burden. Paul distinguishes between two different types of burdens here. When Paul tells us to bear each other's burdens, the word he uses is baros, meaning the burdens and the troubles that everybody faces in life. It's talking about hardship or difficulty. And he then tells us that every man shall bear his own fortune, which carries the connotation of personal obligation or responsibility. And so here he says, carry one another's difficulties and their hardships, but each person is going to own their own accountability, their own responsibility for their actions and deeds. And so Paul says that we should share our rewards with those who taught us. The laborer is worthy of his hire, but the context here suggests more than a physical payment to a teacher. It's an acknowledgement that your success or growth in life results from those who taught you. And in this manner, they do not steal your glory, as it were, but you share it with those who taught you. And so as we look at this passage, we see that Paul is telling us to be mindful of ourselves, of our failings, and of our successes. When restoring one who has stumbled or forgiving someone who has offended you, be humble in acknowledging that we too will fall. When enjoying our successes, remember that someone else has taught us what we know, and they also deserve some of the credit. The culminating point of this passage is that we reap what we sow, and so we should treat others justly and humbly, as the Lord instructed us. So when acting as God would have us, treating others with love and respect and blessing others, we sow according to the Spirit and thus reap life everlasting. See, fulfilling the law of Christ brings us into life everlasting. And this is why we must not weary in well-doing, because we will one day reap the fruit of our actions. Have you noticed it's easier to weary in well-doing than to weary in not well-doing? Yes, our delight must be in the law of the Lord, not in the law of the world. But this is why we need to have that endurance and not weary in well-doing, because one day we will reap the fruit of our behavior. So as we get the chance, as we get the opportunity, he writes, let us do good unto all people, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And the household of faith is such a great term, another way of talking about the body of Christ. We are to do good to others, helping them through life's difficulties, because in the end, we are all accountable for our actions. Through his use of different terms, this clarification of Paul's helps us see. So let me take a step back. We are all accountable for our actions, and therefore we should do good, because the Lord said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And his people said, Lord, when did we do that? And he said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. So we are to be intentional and careful and deliberate in doing good to other people and helping them, because we are accountable for how we treat our Lord and Savior. And so through Paul's use of, what was it, Baros and Phocion, Paul clarifies and helps us see that bearing one another's burdens does not mean taking on the entire or full weight of somebody else's challenges or responsibilities. In 2 Corinthians 8:13, Paul also clarifies, he says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. Well, thank the Lord for that. Each one of us has our own pack to carry. Each one of us has our own responsibilities to fulfill and trials to navigate. And the goal, as Paul declares it, as the Lord gives it, is not to transfer the load off of somebody else and to take it on yourself, but it's to come alongside one another and offer support and encouragement to make that journey more manageable. We are to help share the load, not to take it off of them, because it turns out you can't. Part of this also speaks to kind of our emotional state. It is very difficult when you care about people for their problems not to become your problems. Some of my loved ones have issues that I have a difficult time, putting out of my mind. They're suffering, and therefore I suffer. But you have to be careful not to take on suffering that's not yours to take on. And so part of that is learning to use discretion. We'll talk about that in a moment. So this mutual support that Paul is talking about in this passage, and as we talked about in the race, this mutual support is beautifully illustrated in the image of the race that we explored a few weeks ago, where runners encourage and spur one another on towards the finish line. I once had a friend who, he ran marathons, that's just what he did, and we went to watch him at one race, and he was all disgusted with himself because he didn't beat the time he had planned for him. And I was like, but you came in the top 25%. That's pretty good. If I ran, they would have closed the marathon before I got past the first 100 yards. So I think you're doing okay. But the fact is, when you're running marathons, there is an official time and somebody you're trying to beat. But the reality is, for most people, they're running against themselves. They're trying to push past their former barriers. And so you can run alongside somebody and encourage them and help bring them along to the finish line. The writer of Hebrews picks up on this theme in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, where he urges us to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Regular fellowship and encouragement are essential for maintaining our spiritual stamina, especially as the day of Christ's return draws near. And in his letters to the Romans and the Corinthians, Paul eloquently uses the human body analogy to describe the unity and the diversity within the church, this household of faith, this communion of believers that comprise the body of Christ. And this metaphor illuminates the dual nature of our Christian journey. It's profoundly personal, but it's intrinsically communal. While each of us will stand alone before the Lord to account for our deeds, our faith on this earth is not meant to be lived in isolation. And within a community of believers, we find the strength to live out and to deepen our understanding of God's identity and plan. In this fellowship, every member plays a crucial role. It contributes not just to their own spiritual health, but also to the well-being of the entire community. And as we navigate our own personal challenges, the community serves as a supportive framework, or the community should serve as a supportive framework, helping us fully embody the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We recall from 2 Corinthians 8:13 that while we each carry our own burdens, we are also called to aid one another. And this assistance extends beyond the confines of our church and should be offered to all as the opportunities arise. However, we must employ wisdom, discernment, and discretion in our help. There is a fine line between helping and enabling, and understanding the appropriate level and type of assistance is crucial. As an example, I often ask members of our congregation to visit those who are sick or in need of support, but that in no way implies an obligation to provide financial assistance or to cover expenses like rent. Now, there may be exceptional circumstances where the Lord guides an individual to do so, and if the Lord guides you to do so, you should do what the Lord guides you to do. But in the New Testament, provisions were made for the widows and the orphans, and that upheld the principle that those with families should be supported by their families. And so there may be times in the future when guided by circumstances in the Holy Spirit, pooling our resources and having all things in common like they did in early Acts will become necessary. But we must remain vigilant because this world contains myriad individuals eager to exploit generosity and diverting resources from those who are truly in need. We need to guard against becoming enablers of dependency and remain cautious of those who would take undue advantage. The first letter I received addressed to Reverend John Readout was a request for money. It got to me before I even got my minister's license. And I don't know how many ministers these people know, but I would assume that not many ministers are made of money. And it highlights this common misconception that our mission, that our ministry, our primary role is in providing financial aid. The organization I belong to firmly believes that my purpose in life is to send them checks for every various mission that they can come up with. That's not my job. And that's not your job. We are called to reach the lost. We are called to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And so supporting others is a key aspect of our calling, but we must ensure that our assistance is thoughtful and responsible. I know several people in this church who, over the course of the years, have had somebody try to convince them to pay for a hotel room for them for a week so that they could get out of a bad situation, or ask to have somebody cover their rent for them. And in every situation, you look at it very carefully before you start making such a commitment. If we are to be Spirit-led, we must be led by the Spirit. And so sometimes we must put our sympathy aside and seek discernment and seek the Lord for guidance on how we are to assist one another. Because our role is not to carry somebody's burden for them, but it's to help them carry their own burden. And in so doing, there's also a humility at play here, because in so doing, we must also allow others the opportunity to help us carry our own burdens. This mutual support within the body of Christ strengthens our individual spiritual stamina and it fortifies the resilience and stamina of the entire body. And as I was writing this, I was remembering some of the things I've been reading and the specialized and demanding environment of the Navy SEALs. Teamwork goes beyond the usual notion of collaboration, and it becomes the backbone of survival and success. The SEALs endure some of the most rigorous training exercises in the military, and each one is very carefully designed to test physical resilience and to cement a deep-seated reliance on one another. I remember a friend of mine coming out of just regular boot camp told me that he had a battle buddy, and the entire time he was in boot camp, he and this guy were like joined at the hip. They never got a moment alone because you're always with your battle buddy. And over again, we see the need for teamwork, the need to rely on each other. And one of the physical training things that I found so amazing in the team and the SEAL training was the log exercises and the boat crew drills. And these are like profound lessons in the necessity of collective effort. So some of you guys may have seen the video of David Goggins on the bench press. Phil, you saw it, right? Yeah. His body is, you can tell his body is completely done, but he just keeps moving that weight. And it was amazing to see. You know, they don't know me, son. Who's going to lift the logs in the boat, Cal, right? You know, it was amazing to see the intensity and how he just drove his body beyond what you would expect a limit to be. But during log PT, teams of these candidates lift up and they balance this heavy log weighing several hundred pounds across their shoulders. And together they run, they squat, they navigate obstacles. And the exercise is not so much about the individual's physical strength and more about being in unity and in synchronized activity and effort. And so every member has to move in harmony with others to maintain balance and momentum. And any lapse in teamwork strains the entire group, underscoring that the team's success depends on each member's contribution. On a different note, I've been a pallbearer in way too many instances. And when you're walking with six other people, you can carry a casket pretty easily. But if you try to lift it a little higher than anybody else has lifted it, you realize that that is a very heavy thing. And six people walking together can manage it. But if it were just two of you or just you, it would be nearly unmanageable. And the boat crew drills in Bud's mirrors this concept. And teams need to work in unison to carry these inflatable boats over their heads as they move across sandy beaches and through the crashing ocean waves. And the challenge here, again, is not just the physical weight of the boat. It's also coordinating your movement as a cohesive unit. And these drills reinforce, you know, critical skills like communication and mutual support, shared leadership, and these are all things that are essential for their operational success. But what the SEALs learn from these grueling exercises is a principle that resonates deeply with the Lord Jesus Christ's teaching concerning the body of Christ. Just as every SEAL in training depends on their teammates' unwavering support and precise cooperation, we too, as members of the body of Christ, are called to support and uplift one another. Paul's analogy of the church as the body of Christ in his letters to the Romans and Corinthians illustrates this beautifully. He describes the church as a body with many parts. Each part is essential and no part is dispensable. I guess there's no appendix in the body of Christ. And in this divine body, every member has a role that contributes to the health and the functionality of the whole. So just as the SEAL team can't afford to carry a passive member during the log drills or the boat drills, our spiritual community thrives when we all actively participate using our God-given gifts to encourage, teach, and support one another. So these seal exercises teach us that isolation and tasks designed for a team is futile. Similarly, I keep writing that. I got to stop writing that. In the same vein, in our walk with Christ, while our personal relationship with God is vital, our spiritual growth and our resilience are significantly amplified. They're almost exponentially increased through our active engagement in the community of believers. We are called not merely to be present, but to actively contribute to the body, sharing our burdens and thus fulfilling the law of Christ, as Paul teaches us. So let's take this lesson to heart. Just as the seals rely on each other to carry heavy loads and navigate challenging terrain, we should lean on and strengthen one another in our spiritual journey as we carry heavy spiritual loads and navigate uncertain territory. We should know that our collective service in love and faith obeys and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider our place within the body of Christ, it's essential for us to recognize that each one of us is called not just to benefit from, but to actively contribute to our community. Consider the human body, this perfect analogy given to us by Paul. A heart, if you are to remove it from a body, becomes pretty ineffective. You can watch your heart sitting, well, you can't watch your heart, but somebody else can watch your heart on a table, and it's not going to do you any good if it's on the table instead of beating in your chest. Once you remove it from the body, it's not just ineffective, it becomes a lifeless artifact. And in the same way, our spiritual vitality and our ability to impact others, it's deeply rooted in our connection and our contribution to the church. And if we only consume the resources of our community without contributing, we resemble a tumor. A tumor takes from the body without giving anything beneficial in return. And it ultimately harms the organism. And this image reminds us that to be a healthy member of Christ's body, we must not only take, but also give of our time, our energy, our compassion, and our resources. As the Lord said, freely ye have received, freely give. And this reciprocal relationship illustrated in the rigorous training of the Navy SEALs. I was noticing, I've read a bunch of books, by the way, and so I've read a couple from people who were officers going through the SEALs training, and they've all noted that while their time in training was grueling, they had it easier than their men because they were so busy taking care of their men, they didn't have time to enjoy just how miserable they were. But when you weren't taking care of one another, all you think about is how miserable you are. And they understood that in giving support, they also received the strength to endure. And this principle holds true in our spiritual lives. Often we find our greatest strength while helping others. Often we find that our greatest strength comes when we are helping others bear their burden. We recently went to a museum outside of Boston, and they have a section of the Hanoi Hilton. That's what they called it, right? The prison where they kept and tortured so many American servicemen in Vietnam. And they made a point of talking in this exhibit about how the prisoners would tap through the walls to communicate to each other. And when somebody new came in, it was the responsibility of the person next to them to teach them the code because it was a different code than Morse code. And it was their responsibility to teach that the next-door neighbor that code, even though getting caught doing so would result in hideous torture and punishment, because community and communication is critical. And just as SEALs carry the burdens and the logs together, and just as those prisoners of war would tap out GBU for God bless you when a prisoner would return from being tortured, each one of us is called to do what we can to bear one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. And we are so fortunate that we are not in those positions. But communication and community is no less critical to us than it was to them. And when we actively support each other, our burdens become lighter and our community grows stronger. And so as a result, let's not be passive participants in this community, but let's be active contributing members of the body of Christ. In giving of ourselves, we do not just obey God's command, but we enhance our own spiritual stamina and that of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So as we wrap up this series on spiritual stamina, let's think about this journey that we are on together. We're not just individuals trying to make it through the tough times. We're not just individuals clinging desperately to our solid rock, but we are a family abiding in Christ, holding each other up. And the Bible promises us something beautiful. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That was James 1:12. So this isn't a promise to one person. It's a promise to all of us as we walk this path together. Persevering together doesn't just help us get through hard times. It strengthens our bonds with each other and deepens our joy. Every time we lift each other up or share a burden or celebrate a victory, we get a little taste of the joy that is waiting for us at the end of the road. We're not just a group of individuals who come together on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we are a family, and we are to be a family, growing stronger together in God's love. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:10 and 11, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So let us live together in and with the Lord Jesus Christ, comforting and edifying. That means building each other up as we do. So picture, if you will, or picture with me. If you won't, then don't. But one day, we are all going to stand together before the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of us will answer individually. But we won't be alone. And we can look back at the trials and the tough times and see just how much we helped each other through. And in that moment, the joy that we feel will be something beyond expression that we can't even put into words. And that's the promise that keeps us going, that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. We used to sing the song, "I need you, you need me, we're all God's family." And I don't remember the song exactly, but "I need you to survive" was the thing. And part of what makes this so powerful is that when we understand that other people need us, it helps us to do the right thing when otherwise we might be tempted to do otherwise. So let us keep pushing forward, not alone, but together. And let's help each other stay on track and to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's remember that crown of life that awaits us. I want you to receive the crown of life almost as much as I want to receive the crown of life. And I will do everything in my power to make sure you do. It's not just about getting through trials, but it's about moving forward with joy, knowing that every step we take together is a step closer to that ultimate reward, seeing the Lord face to face and dwelling with him for everlasting. So let's commit to this path to each other and to the work God has laid out for us. Let us not just endure, but thrive, finding strength and joy in our unity. And let us remember that every bit of effort and every moment of support that we give each other adds up, and it all matters in the scheme of things. God has given each one of us, God has given us each other. I don't know how to say that correctly, so that's how I'm going to say it. God has given me to you, and God has given you to me, so that we can walk together through this life. And as we step into the coming days, uncertain days, we need to hold on to this promise and encourage each other like never before. We need to show the world what it means to be a part of the family of God, what it means to run the race with endurance and joy, and to run side by side. And as we commit to walking this path together, let us remind one another that we are not a social club. We don't just get together for fellowship or to comfort one another, but we come together to truly embody the body of Christ as He intends for us to do. The Lord commands us, "Seek my face." And responding from our hearts, we say, "Your face, O Lord, will I seek." And in this seeking, this genuine, earnest pursuit of God's presence, we transform from being a gathering of individuals into becoming the living body of Christ. Every act of support, every shared burden, every moment of encouragement within our community should draw us closer to the face of God. Our purpose is far more important than our comfort. It's about becoming vessels through which His will is done on earth. And this requires more than simply showing up. It requires a heart turned towards God and a desire to see His kingdom come in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So let's challenge ourselves today to do more than seek God's blessing. Above that, let us challenge ourselves to seek His face and His continual presence in our daily lives. This is how we will grow into the body of Christ we are meant to be, fully engaged, deeply committed, and spiritually connected. And as we do this, we find not only that we find strength in each other, but that the very presence of God becomes more obvious to us, more noticeable to us, and it guides us and sustains us. So as we move forward, let us keep our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging one another to seek Him in everything we do. Because this is not just about enduring together, it's about thriving together in the light of His grace, pressing on toward the promise, energized not by worldly motivations, but by the joy of one day being in the presence of the Lord face to face. Together, let us seek His face. Let us live out His commands. And let's transform our community into a true reflection of His love, where every action and every word draws us closer to Him. That's how we will persevere. That's how we will find joy in our commitment to one another and in the mission that He has set before us. And so as we close this message today, I invite each one of you to reflect on this journey we've discussed, this journey of enduring faith, of communal strength and personal commitment to seeking the face of God. We have learned that we're not just a part of a group, but we are members of the body of Christ, each one essential, each one valued, each one valuable. And we're not called only to receive, but we are called also to give support, to give love, and to give ourselves to the work of the Lord. So if you will stand, if you feel as though you've been on the periphery, merely observing rather than participating, or if you felt a stirring in your heart to step deeper into the life that God has called you to, I invite you to come forward to the altar today. Maybe you've realized that you spend more time like a heart outside of the body than a part of the body itself. Perhaps you see that there's more to your walk with Christ than you've been living out, and today can be the day that that changes. Perhaps you're here today carrying burdens that have weighed you down, making it hard to see the path forward. Remember that we are called to bear one another's burdens, and in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. You do not need to carry your burdens alone. Come forward and let us pray with you. Let us stand with you, and let us walk with you. And if you're here today seeking a brand new start, a fresh commitment to not just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to make him your Lord and your God and to live in him, this moment is for you also. So let's seek his face together. Let's commit to being the body of Christ that looks upwards and reaches outward. Let's pray together this morning. Let's commit together, and let's walk together in the strength and the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I invite you to come to this altar and pray together to share and carry the burdens.